Amen. Thank you, Peter. Another of our New Wine gospel values, unity and diversity. Or as New Wine puts it, we want to work with everyone who holds these values in open, mutually accountable friendship, while also acknowledging and honoring differences in leadership style, church characteristics, and denominational emphasis. A little bit tricky wording there. But in our little series on New Wine gospel values, you can remember, I'm sure, last week Helen Suarez tackled how we can have a balanced diet of word and spirit, the word of God and the spirit of God. Do you remember, if you just have the word alone without spirit, you dry up. If you have the spirit alone without the word, you blow up. If you have word and spirit, you grow up. I like that. So this week we're going to look at unity and diversity within the church. And that reading that Steve read to us from 1 Corinthians 12, Paul likens the church to a human body with all its different limbs and organs functioning together. But nevertheless, you feel like one person, don't you? When, for example, when your leg hurts, you're hurting. Or when you've got toothache, I've had a bit of that in the last month or two, you hurt and you're in pain. And Paul says the church is like that. The church is the body of Christ. We're all different and yet we're all united in the one body. And so if someone in the church is grieving, then we all feel it, don't we? Or if someone in the church achieves success, then we're all pleased for them. Now, there are lots of ways that we are different. Maybe in Mark's day, not too many ways, because we all come from similar sorts of backgrounds. But some people are older and some are younger. Some are male and some are female. Some of us perhaps are poorer than others. Some are less well-educated, others better educated. And of course, we all have different skills and abilities, and we all have different opinions and concerns. I remember being in a seminar with some rabbis once, and they said, if you have a room full of, five Jews, then you'll have at least six opinions, if not more. And I think that's true, isn't it? We all have different ways of looking at things. And I think one positive thing we can do in the church is actually to seek out those who are different from us and celebrate those differences, enjoy them, appreciate them. Because our natural human tendency is to look for people who are like us, isn't it? And to make friends with them, because it's easier, because we have more in common. But actually, you don't learn and grow so much that way. We'll learn more if, for example, we talk with children and discover what it's like to see things from their perspective. Or perhaps if we find someone who comes at life from a different angle to ourselves and listen to them, find out what their perspective is. Andrew Waters has done a lot of historical research in Mark's Tay. So he's talked to a lot of long-standing villagers. And I'm sure he's learned a great deal through that. People's different perspective on things in our local area. Another temptation we all fall for occasionally is to envy one another's gifts, the differences between us. Paul imagines parts of the body envying one another. If the ear should say, oh, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. It wouldn't for that reason stop being a part of the body, says Paul. After all, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? He's right, isn't he? That we need all the different parts of the body to make us healthy. And he makes the point that every person's contribution is vital to the body. Even if some parts of the body are less glamorous than others. And each contribution is made for the health of the whole body. not for the sake of the individual limb or organ. And that's true in the church as well, isn't it? That each person's contribution is necessary. I can remember a team coming to my parish in Southampton way back now in 1986. Does anybody remember 1986? Yes. And it was a team from Lee Abbey in North Devon. And there was a chap called Dave Hopwood who was doing the drama on the team. He led the drama team. He did some brilliant mime artistry, you know. And I remember being especially moved by the way he depicted the crucifixion, the way he mimed the death of Jesus on the cross. And the team was led by the Lee Abbey chaplain, Alan Smith. And he preached using puppets, hand puppets. And I was so envious because he was so gifted. He could do everything, it seemed, and he did everything brilliantly well. But one of the team actually noticed my reaction and took me on one side and just said to me very quietly that Alan has got his weak points, actually. He can't do it all. He's actually not very good at getting on with people and pastoral work and so on. And there were things that I could do that he couldn't do. And I was so grateful to them for that, because I was sort of freed from that green-eyed demon of jealousy. I was able to see his contribution as a gift to the whole church. It's important, isn't it? First of all, we all have gifts to contribute. And secondly, it's not for our own glorification or benefit, but it's for the sake of the whole church. So what is it that unites us then? Because most human groups are united by some shared characteristic or interest, aren't they? It's a youth group, or it's a women's institute, or it's an art class, or it's a gliding club or something. But the Christian church, the body of Christ, was intended to have just one thing that unites us. We are all in Christ. And apart from that one thing, everything else can be different. As Paul puts it in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying human barriers of race or class or gender have been rendered unimportant alongside faith in Christ. One of the things we discovered in Nepal is that the Hindu caste system is very much alive and well out there in Nepal. And if you belong to this tribe, then you're part of a particular caste or class in society. And you don't talk to other groups. You don't associate with other castes. But in the church, they're trying to model something different, that we are all one in Christ. And so church members can come from different tribes and different castes and worship together and associate with each other. Now that's okay until, guess where the problem comes, when two people want to get married. That's where it really bites. Can you really marry someone from a different class or caste? They're doing it in the church out in Nepal, but it's hard, because the caste system is so ingrained in their society. What unites us is one thing only, faith in Christ. After all, human families show aspects of unity and diversity, don't they? Children show characteristics of both parents. One of our daughters is very much like me, and the other one very much like Jane. But there are ways in which they sort of cross over when the sun comes out. The one who's like me actually goes brown like Jane, and the one who's like Jane actually burns like I do. So, yeah, there's a bit of sort of a mixture there, isn't there? A family likeness, a unity. Plant families, wheat, barley, oats, your garden lawn, maize or sweet corn, ornamental grasses. they all share a characteristic. They have more in common with each other than they do with, say, the roses in your garden. Scripture, as Helen was telling us last week about the Word of God. There are lots of different types of literature in the Bible. Why do we have it bound in one volume? Because it all shares one characteristic, that it speaks of God and of His Word dealing with human beings and bringing salvation. And of course, the Trinity is an example, isn't it? Three in one and one in three. So God Himself, in His nature, shows us both unity and diversity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So a shared faith in Christ is more important than arguing about our differences. Jesus, in John 17, prays for unity among His disciples, as Peter read, that all of them may be one, Father. Just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. Why should we be united? What's the point of it? What's the aim of it all? Because when the world sees the church divided and fighting, perhaps over women bishops or gay marriage or something, the world sneers and says, oh yeah, they're just like us, aren't they? Perhaps even worse than us, hypocrites. But when the world sees the church united, perhaps in Open the Book in schools or TFM walk missions or street pastors in Colchester or food banks perhaps, when the world sees the church is working together, Christians working together, the world is amazed and recognizes a work of God. John 17, that they may be one so that the world may believe. So our diversity is glorious. It's something to be celebrated and appreciated, but it must not divide us from our brothers and sisters in Christ. Because all our divisions, all our differences are to melt away in the kingdom of heaven. For we are one in Christ. We're diverse, but we are united in Him. Let's just have a moment to think on those things. It may be that God's saying something to you. Perhaps you can think of some aspect of your life where you are at odds with somebody else, where there's division. And particularly in the church, these things should not be. Not because we want to present some false uniformity, but because it harms the gospel of the kingdom. That they may be one, so that the world may believe. Lord, make us one in Christ, we pray, for Your glory's sake. Amen.